Welcome back to the Fam Morning Show. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. How's everybody doing out there? Braving the weather, the cold, snowy north. This Insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. We're joined by Nick Kyprios from Real Kipper and Born. And who would you vote for the Lou Marsh Award if you had a ballot today?
How can you go wrong with a decathlon? That is the one.
Well, let JD tell you.
JD would say that you are very wrong in that.
It's not that you're wrong. There's no wrong answers here. It's just that you didn't put any thought into it. That's all.
That is the ultimate athlete right there.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you want to be a trampolinist, you go to trampoline school. That's how you become a trampolinist.
Yeah.
Were you listening to the last block?
Buddy, I always listen.
He wakes up and he pops on 590, like still in bed, eyes closed.
Always listen when you think I'm not listening.
Yeah, now I'm kind of like, okay. Now I'm going to take random shots at you.
Slander him at 6 a.m. because he's awake.
I know everything that happens in this town.
That means he's heard me doing my fake Kipper. There's a real Kipper and Born, and I bust out the fake Kipper sometimes.
So, I've been taking notes.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good way to start. Congrats on the break.
Yeah.
You did. You had it first. Marner.
A little breaking news yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Nobody cares
Just
anymore.
Another day in the life, eh?
Nobody cares.
We care.
We cared. We were excited about it, but yet you didn't really spill the tea. You said you save it for your own show.
Yeah, you did.
Which is a bit rude, eh? Give us a boost.
Called a hook.
Smart.
Right, the business. But
did it work? Did ratings go up?
There's no question that they miss him. They miss him on the penalty kill. They miss him because he's responsible defensively. He covers up a lot of mistakes. He lets other people take more gambles. That's a significant loss for a month.
Yeah. How did the story change so quickly? Like, we thought, oh, he's going to sit out for a few games this weekend, probably. He'll still travel. He's just getting back into it. And now it's like, oh, just kidding. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks or even more, and he's going to go on the IR. Like, what was the issue there between the diagnosis that took seemingly a long time?
I think they just underestimated the damage, to be quite honest. Muzzin steps up on him in practice. You can see he's clearly upset from whatever video they were able to get. He leaves practice. They leave for a flight, I think, an hour later. They take him with them. And that, to me, was a mistake. The first thing you want to do is have him assessed properly. And if it meant getting the MRI later that night or the next morning, that's what you do. That was your top priority. Your top priority was to get him properly assessed right there, not put him on a plane and take him down there so you can find out he doesn't feel well and then hope he plays the next night, which he doesn't, and then come home and get your MRI on Monday. To me, it was, no, look after him right away. And if by chance it's negative and he feels better, fly him in Saturday morning.
You're the Maple Leafs. You can charter a plane.
Like, come on. I mean, yeah, whatever. Just get him there after you've properly assessed him. So I think hindsight's 20/20. You didn't need to put him in a hotel, flights, strange mattress. But what are you going to do? It's fine as long as he's 100% when he comes back and he's ready for the back half. And more importantly, you know, this is all gunning towards April anyways. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure he's feeling good and he's healthy and he's recharged, because you're going to need that guy real, real bad.
You make it sound like they're staying at like the Comfort Inn.
Yeah, no, it was like weird mattress.
Weird mattress
in the NHL, but like, this is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
NHL teams stay at some of the best hotels and still will end up with some of the worst mattresses you've ever had your whole life. I've gone to bed feeling great, and the next morning I couldn't move my neck one night in Buffalo because I was on this horrific, horrific bed, and I couldn't play the next night. You just assume you're in 5-star hotels and, you know, they're feeding you grapes. But that's It's not the way it works.
Okay, so before we get into Spezza, what happens if the power play keeps clicking with no Marner? Because you and I, you've yelled at me before. You've yelled at me on your show when I've raised the idea of this guy not actually being the best fit on the power play because of the shot, because of the predictability. And it's, the power play was going well beforehand, but man, like, they've scored 6 goals now in 3 games. And if this continues at a rate like this over 3 weeks, do you think there's any chance that they say to Marner, like, hey man, you're running the second power play unit now. We're not messing with this.
I'm not an idiot here. Yeah. If it's going well and you know, you get Marner back in 3 or 4 weeks and you want to, you don't necessarily want to disrupt anything and it's going well, then by all means, let him see the tail half of a second unit until, you know, you see where it all lays out. But, you know, there's something to be said. You know, Mitch Marner needs to find ways to get a bigger threat when he shoots the puck. When you get into the habit of either not shooting hard enough or, you know, being more predictable with a pass, there's something to be said that you lose a threat. That's where Spezza comes in. Spezza shoots the puck, and Marner doesn't come anywhere near the way Jason Spezza shoots the puck, and that's a real threat on the power play, and it's legit. So Mitch is going to have to find a way to get pucks to the net and have a shot with a little bit more authority. And that's something that he's going to have to continue to work on, because he needs to still find a way to put the puck in the net himself. You love some of the passes that he can draw two people in, but again, the Leafs' biggest problem, you know, last year was predictability between Matthews and Marner, and that has to change in April.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about Jason Spezza, who we finally got the ruling yesterday will be out for 6 games. Before I get your take on, you know, what you think of the suspension, why did that take so long? Like, what was the delay?
It was weird.
Why were we waiting till the middle of the game to find out?
We had people like Justin Bourne tell everybody it was going to be almost 3 games. And when you go double, you slide it in during the game when no one's paying attention. That's why.
Mm. So it's his fault.
Yeah.
Everyone was paying attention. We were all watching the Leafs play. Like, of course we were going to be talking about it. That's a bad strategy by the NHL.
I don't get it. 6 to me is crazy. And we've seen suspensions in the past where they've used the words intent and with force and vulnerable and all of that, and still end up suspending somebody 2 games or maybe 3. But I don't get 6 at all, but you know, that's, it's the way it is. And you know, a lot of people out there saying that he's going to appeal. Let me tell you something. There's no time to appeal. There's no appeal. And even if they went through the process, there's not enough time to save 6 games. So Jason Spezza is more than free to say that he wants to go through the process. But if he really thinks this thing through, it's a big waste of time.
So the Spezza absence kind of compounds with the Marner thing, which, you know, they're already missing Mikheyev. And now on the back end, they're Dan Sandin and Dermott. Not long ago, we were discussing on our show and with you about, hey, you know, there are these rumblings out there that the Leafs might want to or maybe making available one of their defensemen or to shed salary or things like that. Obviously, things change so quickly in regard to that stuff. Does this current state of affairs kind of punt that down the line because, you know, it's all hands on deck now? Or is it not even a punt down the line? It's just a reminder, hey, you probably shouldn't have been trying to deal from a position of depth anyway, because you're going to need that depth over the course of the season.
Well, the two factors are money and obviously position. So if I believe that they're always going to be looking to upgrade that blue line. So I don't think it necessarily stops them from shopping, but it does focus on money in, money out, and defense out, defense back. So regardless, they're going to have to find guys that have a better fit for them come April, and they're a defenseman away no matter what, whether they're healthy or they're in a position that they are today. They need to upgrade that position with one heavy, kind of bulky guy. The name Ben Sherrod out of Montreal is going to start. You're going to start hearing that name a lot more. There's no question that the Toronto Maple Leafs have interest in Ben Sherrod. I don't think that they can necessarily get him from Montreal. I mean, there's that factor as well. The Boston Bruins want him real bad. But that's the type of guy that they're going to have to focus on to think that they've got a real legitimate shot to win a Stanley Cup this year. And that's the type of guy that they're going to need, regardless of what they're going through today or what they're going to look like come March, April.
So when you're looking at a guy like Rubens then, who checks in last night, you know, I don't know that a handful of games is going to change the trade value on a guy like that or anything, but you're not really looking for rest of season. You're just looking, hey, can you fill this gap until there's a better way to address it?
Yeah, 100%. And those are great opportunities for a guy like Rubens and Steve's to get in there and get their feet wet and get hungrier and have this feel that they can come up and not look out of place, and down the road that may pay dividends for you. But to now ask those guys to come in and fill prominent roles on a team that's supposed to win the Stanley Cup now is a little much. So they're gonna have to eventually go out there, shop, and pay a price. And you know, whether it's another first rounder, whether it's Nick Robertson in the minors, they're gonna have to give up something significant to add a quality player, a Ben Sherratt type of player. It's gonna be expensive. It ain't cheap to try to win a Stanley Cup. And Tampa Bay paid that price the last few years, and we know how their story ended. That's what Kyle Dubas is going to have to look at from here on in.
So I want to go back to the Spezza thing for a second, because I have two more questions on it. One is, what do you think Brendan Shanahan is doing right now? Like, what do you think his involvement
breakfast?
Is? Well, no.
Taking his kids to school.
Fine, smart ass. I'm just curious, because he's someone who did that job before, and I'm guessing that, okay, maybe sometimes you have some sensitivities towards, oh, okay, you know, this job's really hard, I'm going to try to stay out of this, but also maybe you carry a little bit more influence, and also you would have to think, if the guy who is in one of the most prominent jobs in all of hockey, who used to do that job, decides to come out and say, like, hey, this is too many games for Spezza, that Nick Kypreos is right, this is too many games, they've done this poorly, or we need to have some type of more consistency, we need to have more review of officials. Like, he actually comes out with a statement today backing the player, backing the circumstances, that it carries more weight than anybody else in all of hockey, including me.
I don't think it makes a bit of difference to them. And I don't think in this instance Brendan needs to come out and play that card. There's something to be said for the guy that doesn't, the coach that doesn't constantly bark at the officials. And, you know, when you do, it carries more clout in more important scenarios. And Brendan may have to do that somewhere down the road. I just don't think he's gonna use it on this particular instance. And you know, there's a subtle way he can do it, but if he comes out really, really hard on them, I don't think it'll benefit him when he does need to do it down the road. And I think, you know, when you start getting into critical situations down the stretch, in the playoffs, you might want to keep your powder dry for something like that. At six games, it's Jason Spezza as well, which means that, you know, it's okay if he plays 60 yes. games this mm-hmm. year. You don't care. What you care is that, you know, again, in April, he's feeling well and he can give you great 8 to 12 quality minutes. And if there's a scenario where he needs to bump up or he starts getting hot, including on the power play, and he's going well, that's all you care about is April on. I don't think, you know, saving Jason Spezza a game will matter here.
Yeah.
You let him rest.
Yeah.
Give him some time off. Get him ready for April. He's proven that he can be an effective player for you in different scenarios. Make sure that guy's feeling good in April. You're making the playoffs. Just let him rest. Send him to Florida for the next 2 weeks. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're deep enough.
Yeah.
Even in that horrible game last night, you've shown you're deep enough. Don't worry about it. Let him rest.
Yeah, I'm with it from that standpoint. And I think, yeah, overall, the actual hockey decision of it is pretty clear that it's like, hey, even when you look at it, you know, last night was a good just refresher on, hey, Jason Spezza has obviously been important to this team, but it's also like in the regular season, it's a fourth line and they throw some guys like Steves is there. I've never heard of him before, but
Steves.
But you're reminded when real fourth liners are on a fourth line of what they usually look like. And you're like, all right, who cares? you know, like who cares? It's the fourth line. This guy's played 10 minutes. Yeah, exactly. He's like, this guy's played 10 minutes in a blowout against Columbus. I feel no way about you. Spezza is a name. He's down there. So it's different. So that part of it I get. I guess the component of it for Shanahan would be two-part. One is that, you know, you're really buying into protecting your team or trying to get in. Your head coach has come out publicly and talked about Spezza's track record. Your team, the players in that dressing room, obviously all revere Spezza. He did something where they felt like it was necessary, right? He was sticking up for a young player. He was taking actions into his own hands because of poor officiating. Like, there's a narrative here. They had just had their goaltender run. They had all these players that were dealt with in poor ways, and the league doesn't back it. And the league says, you know what, Maple Leafs? Like, you're going to eat this harder than any other team. You're going to be the ones who end up being, you know, made example of because of Jason Spezza. I could sort of see how the organization looks at that through a lens of frustration that you would want your president to step up and say, you know what, I used to do this job and it's hard, but these guys make it look even harder than it should be. And, you know, this needs to change. We need more consistency in this role. We need more consistency with these suspensions. We need to have actually the faith of the NHL fans. Cause like, I don't know, social media is usually not actually a good barometer for things, Kipper, but man, what do you think their approval rating is? If we did that of like the Department of Player Safety, negative something, like everybody hates them. Nobody trusts them. Nobody believes that they're actually executing that job with any competency.
As much as I think the suspension sucks, it is the hardest job.
I agree.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not even close to even other leagues because it's just such a fine line. And, you know, it's judge and jury every day from the officials. Is that a trip? Isn't it a trip? He stepped on his stick. He tripped him. It's like you can't win. There's always going to be almost a 50-50 draw constantly. So in that, I do have a sense. I would never wish that job on anybody. It is the hardest job. You get the crap kicked out of you constantly on social media. Somebody's got to do it. They, you know, George Parros has been there now, what, 3 or 4 years? I mean, that job, you'll never see a Coley Campbell ever do that again, that job again for like 10, 15 years. It's just, it should change every 3 or 4 years because you're getting beat up constantly and you should, that job should cycle like the Olympics. But you know, if Brendan, there's no question Brendan Shanahan's doing that behind the scenes.
Good.
And I'm okay with this us against the world. They hate us. They don't want us to win. Whatever the players need to galvanize themselves. And this is you talk about that game in Winnipeg, plus that it cost Jason Spezza 6 games. This stuff is building for the Leafs. It will help thicken their skin. I mean, 82 games, JD, is a dress rehearsal. That's all it is. Last night's game, completely useless. Okay, that did nothing to help the Leafs try to prepare to win a Stanley Cup. Winnipeg did. Minnesota did. So use that to thicken your skin while you continue the process of getting ready for the real season. That That 6-game suspension and what happened on the weekend will do more for the Leafs than any stupid, boring, bad hockey versus Columbus did last night, I assure you.
So obviously the Leafs as a player group have no choice but to kind of stay above that and just prep for the playoffs, and the officiating will be what it'll be. But do you think an incident like this, with all the discussion that's happened around it, and like you said, Shanahan talking to player safety and maybe being like, hey, guys, this is not great. Do you think that, you know, some of this could open the door to more accountability for referees, whether that's, you know, internal reviews that stay private? I know the NBA has the last 2-minute report that nobody likes and does the opposite of what they hoped it would do. But do you see a push for more official accountability through this?
It is happening behind the scenes. I promise you it is. And they're hard on their officials. They just can't come out and show that publicly. It serves them no purpose. They've got a team there. They've already feel like, you know, you want to talk about a team that galvanized, it's the officials. Like when one official looks bad or, you know, gets singled out, it affects all of them. They are as much as of a team as the Toronto Maple Leafs and any other of the 31 teams. But they're held accountable. But the official who missed the call on the kneeing on Campbell, I guarantee you, the league was all over him. You can't miss that call.
Good.
You know, Foligno's coming in on his own, doesn't get touched, goes through the paint, and hits Campbell in the head. I assure you they were all over him on a horrible call that can lose a Stanley Cup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. So that stuff's happening behind the scenes. You just don't always have to, you know, air your dirty laundry in public.
Well, it was a great 24 hours for anyone named Nick Kyprios and Nick Ritchie. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
The Knicks. That's what we call you.
Remember, and remember, I'm listening.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Warning taken.
No, don't listen.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
You too.
See you, bud.
That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
What do you guys think about my Shanahan point?
I think he is eating breakfast and driving his kids to school and listening to us.
Yeah, he better be. Well, if he is listening to us, I'm like, yo, Shanny. Okay, so...
It's definitely something I didn't consider until you brought it up. Like, I wasn't thinking, like, oh, he had that role. Like, what's he thinking about this? But I did like Nick's point of... Nick Kyprios's point, not Nick Ritchie's point, that maybe you sit this one out and you wait to have a bigger moment. But maybe there isn't a bigger moment.
Yeah, you know, I just think, like, so when are you using that bullet? Like, it's if you're Brendan Shanahan, and again, I don't know what he does behind the scenes. God, you know, this is like, I'm really talking out of school here. Like, who has a clue? But this is a fan base that oftentimes when things go wrong says, well, what about Shanahan, right? And his role has always been a little vague to fans, I think. Like, it's been a little unclear exactly what he's doing other than backing Kyle Dubas publicly, right? And being like, hey, I get credit for that guy if you guys win. I wouldn't mind it if he did that. Like, you have a fan base that is pissed off. And ultimately, this is, again, a thing with professional sports that we seem to forget sometimes, that as much as it is your quote-unquote business, the business is fueled by those people that were pissed off on Twitter last night. And if you ultimately represent their interests, God, he carries a real hammer here. For him to come out and say, hey, and I guess he would have to believe it, but for him to come out and say, like, you know what, again, like I mentioned, this job is really hard, but this is unfair. And this is not done properly. And I was a part of this problem, but we need to figure out how to gain public trust as the Department of Player Safety. We need to make players feel like we are making them safe. Because, yeah, you know what? The one that, even as Kipper says it, and I didn't really think about it in the moment because it's like, yeah, you know, it's an accidental play. Guys drive the nets. They hit goalies and it's tough. You review them. But no, Foligno goes right into the paint. Right at the end of the game, charges a goaltender, almost takes his freaking head off to the point where when that happened, I went, oh my God, this is like the James Reimer thing all over again, where this is going to irreparably alter his career. I'm starting to get those flashbacks. Like, You know what? Explain to us then, player safety, why you're not making some of those calls. Like some of the ones that people are not getting suspended for, explain. Have some kind of connection to these plays. Have some type of public faith. Try to build that up.
And even if it's the next day.
Right, and like, that's it.
Okay, refs can miss things. I've played the sports long enough that, you know, there's issues. There's definitely something that could be said for missing things in the moment. But with the type of social media backlash and the conversation around it and it being a discussion point and it being in highlight reels, like, yeah, you can't miss that the next day. So address it a day later.
And it's not just once, though, right? Mm-hmm. It's that everyone has a problem with this. It's one of the now real sore spots for NHL fans and for the league in general, is that you have a dangerous sport where people are flying around at incredible speeds and they're hitting each other. We know about the damage that head injuries can do now. And so there are certain things that we know are unacceptable. But then all of a sudden you have these double standards where you do things and you go, well, what the hell? Why is this this way? Why is this that way? And we're expected to watch their 5-minute video breaking something down whenever they decide that something is worse than the next thing. And so I actually do think that there is a bit of responsibility on Shanahan if he does think that there is something wrong. If these guys are able to look at this and say, you know, we've got to gain public trust, we need to gain player trust, we need to be healthier as a league, then you know what? He should actually be one of the faces of it. His team is directly involved in this incident. It's a multi-layered, complicated suspension where other factors that came into play were not treated the same almost immediately. This would be sort of the time where it would be, hey, Brennan, take to a podium somewhere. Call into a radio show. This one, do it here. Please, if you're listening, I'm begging you. But really, like, if not him, then who? Like, if these changes are going to happen and you are going to satiate NHL fans, and I know there's a degree of, like, even as I'm talking about the refereeing thing, mm-hmm. is you open up more transparency like the NBA tries to do, it usually ends up backfiring. It usually only creates more anger. And so I actually think with the officials, you know, should they have a review? Should they be chastised privately? Yes. But I actually think the more you open up to the public, the worse it's going to get. And people will always move the goalposts anyways. Like, the second you give an inch, people are going to go, but why not the next inch when it comes to officials? Why not have them all come out and they should come to my kid's birthday party and wear the clown costume?
Well, look at what the virtual strike zone has done, right? It's pushed the conversation
exactly
so far. And the last 2-minute reports have been a disaster.
Exactly. So as long as we know that those refs are getting chastised privately and that it is, you know, ultimately affecting things like playoff performances, whatever, like, that's good. But I do think that if there's anyone, really, if there's one person's opinion that I actually care about here on the Spezza suspension, on what the future of this is going to be, on the state of the league when it comes to player safety, it's not me. It's not the other Twitter heroes or the people who are angry online or I don't know. It's that guy. It's Brendan Shanahan. Like, he's the one.
And if you want to see the referees up close and personal...
Oh, I had such a good segue. Oh,
okay, go for it.
No, it's fine. Spets is going to miss the next 5 games at least.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
Yes, really?
Because we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Maple Leafs December 23rd home game, which is actually a 2 p.m. start. So you want a little afternoon delight, see the St. Louis Blues, all you have to do is download today's episodes and Thursday's episodes of the Fan Morning Show. Listen for the different code words that are placed in each podcast. Then text the code word to 590-590 and you'll be entered for a chance to win. Each code word counts as one entry. The winner will be selected this Friday, December 10th. So if you want to see the Leafs play the Blues on home ice 2 days before Christmas, 2:00 in the afternoon, we're giving away tickets. You got to listen to the podcast.
And text into 590-590. This is the Fan Morning Show. When we come back, in case you don't win the tickets, Ailisha is going to tell us how she's going to stay hot. You can win a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, I'm rich.
Just buy your tickets. Ailisha's on fire. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Toronto Raptors getting back in action tonight. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.
About me right now, guys.
Yeah, we know.
Fan Morning Show, where I just can't stop winning money.
Uh-huh.
It's like they're just giving it away for free. I put a bet in, boom, I hit it. It's like I'm just gonna ride this high.
You're like a shooter in rhythm.
That's right. When you're hot, you're hot. last night, actually yesterday on the air, you remember me saying, oh, the Leafs are playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, you know, there's this guy named Max Domi. I think he might have a good night. He's, you know, he's from Toronto. He might score. Well, sprinkled a little money on that. He scores with 0.6 seconds left. That's just a gift from the gods. Like, they're like, all right, Ailish, here you go. Boom. Mm-hmm. Hit that one.
It's like they were, the gambling gods were scrambling. They're like, oh my God, we almost forgot.
We almost forgot that Ailish had that bet. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Woo! Some guy at the betting gods department was like, boy, that was 0.6. A close one. He's like, man, yikes. I was sweating.
Yeah, he knew he was going to be in trouble.
I forgot that we're getting Ailish over right now.
And if you missed the 6:30 block where I do my A-list, I also hit the Bing Bong Parlay, which was trending last night. A bunch of you texted in or tweeted or DM'd me about the Bing Bong Parlay, which was Knicks, Nets, Rangers, and Islanders Moneyline Parlay, which had plus 800 odds. And you know my affinity for the Bing Bong. I sprinkled $20 on that and also hit that.
Bing Bong!
Bing Bong! Hit that big cash out.
I'm trying to visualize the sprinkling of $20, and I'm just seeing you drop, like you're trying to sprinkle on one $20 bill floats
that was
down
it.
On.
But that one was a bit, like, that's a bigger
that's a
one
good
for
hit
me.
For you.
Yeah, like four teams that I really don't watch very often in a money line parlay, and they all hit for me. So, like, vibes are high. Yet, now we're back with the Raptors, who I felt like haven't played in like 6 months. So I need to know a little bit from the expert here.
Sorry, we need to just clarify before we get into this stuff is that, like, we're going to talk around some of the games tonight, in particular the Raptors, but right now Ailish is the one that you should all be listening to. JD and I can't tail her because we can't risk.
I'm nervous. I feel a lot of pressure.
Gotta,
I have people messaging me about, like, when are you betting tonight, Ailish? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to tell you guys. I will, because this is the beauty of radio.
Okay, well, let me set up Raptors Thunder for you then, and we'll see how you feel.
I'm pulling up the app
before
here.
We get too deep. I'm going to set it up for you, and I want to see how you feel, what your first instinct, because your first instinct's been good lately. So Raptors won two in a row. Defense has bounced back a little bit. They're hosting the Thunder tonight and are 7-point favorites. That's a decent size line, but the Oklahoma City Thunder are 7-16. They come in healthy, but that doesn't really matter because they're tanking and they're not very good. They just ended an 8-game losing streak by beating the Pistons the other night. It was a very fun game. And they obviously have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort, two Canadians who are their two best players.
Oh, I like that.
Josh Giddey's a fun rookie. Pokuševski's fun, but
a lot of fun players on this team.
They're weird. They've got vibes. They just don't have a lot of talent. This is a team that struggled a lot, and especially of late. But they probably have, I mean, depending on how you feel about Shai, they maybe have the best player in the game. And Lou Dort is a defensive menace who started to score a little bit too. The Raptors are still without OG Anunoby and Ken Birch, who are apparently just never, ever going to come back. They don't even exist anymore. So how do you feel, Ailish? Because the Raptors have won two in a row. It's three games in a row where their defense has been good. The Thunder are coming in just off an 8-game losing streak.
I'm not sure how I feel yet.
Actually kind of want Blake to have to say more about this game and how he's leaning, because
kind of put me right in the middle here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I need more from Blake before I get Ailish, because I kind of feel like Ailish's whole thing is just like gut reaction to the leanings.
And I don't currently have a gut reaction.
Okay, well, sure, we can go from there. So the Raptors, the biggest story with the Raptors of late has been their defense bouncing back, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that Monday, how the last three games for the Raptors have been a move very much in the right direction for their defense, both in terms of results and how things have looked. The Thunder come in as the worst offense in basketball. They're basically Shai, Dort, and whoever else shows up that day, and a couple really cool Josh Giddey passes that almost always result in his teammate missing the shot. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the league as well. And if we know anything about the Raptors' defense, even when things are going well on the defensive end, they do give up a lot of corner threes. It's part of the trade-off that they have with their aggressive style. So while the Thunder do a pretty decent job protecting the ball and not turning it over, they are not a team that will generally exploit an opponent on the offensive glass. They're the bottom 10 in the league in offensive rebounding rate. They're dead last in three-point shooting, and their offense is dead last overall.
Okay, so they sound like they suck.
They do suck. I mean, I just said they're 7-16 and they lost 8 in a row.
But then you were hyping them up with all these fun players,
no,
and then they bring the good vibes.
Everybody in the
they're
NBA.
Fun.
So, yeah.
And Shea and Dort are really good. And this is a team that, like, for a team this young and inexperienced to be roughly average defensively is impressive. It's a nice coaching job by Mark Daigneault, and there's some, like, they're annoying to play against. They're just not good.
I don't like when a team comes to Toronto that has Canadians, because something special always happens there where they show up big. Like, it's like they're homecoming. Who's that guy that time with
Dylan Brooks?
Oh, God, I hated that guy with the fur
Who's
coat.
Who's that guy that time and he got
he knew
it?
Exactly.
Was,
that.
Was really like we're spending a lot of time
Who's
together.
That guy so, that time? Blake's like, yeah, I know exactly what you
Shea
mean.
Shea also has the record for most points as a Canadian against
okay,
the Raptors.
See,
he dropped
that,
32 on them.
I don't like that. And now there's two Canadians on this team.
Yeah. And then there's...
It's making my decision a little bit clouded.
There's honorary Canadian former Raptor Paul Watson as well, which if you guys... JD knows my love for love for Paul Watson.
I'm surprised that Paul Watson wasn't pitched to be on the show today, to be honest. I didn't know that he was on the Thunder. I'll be honest. I don't watch a lot of Thunder games. Why would you?
I watched the Thunder Pistons game on Monday. And
that's
felt
just,
like a...
Yeah, that's really...
So the reason to watch the Thunder earlier in the season was for a little while there... They were the bad team that kept covering big spreads.
Yeah.
They had, I think it was 7 straight covers. They're 14-9 against the spread on the year. So even though they're a bad team, they have covered more often than not, whereas the Raptors are 10-14 against the spread. So that's not a huge swing factor, but the book on the Thunder has generally been, we'll play you close and then lose, which makes a 7-point line really difficult because that's right around where... You'd expect it.
And the Raptors have held, what, their last three opponents to under 100 points?
Mm-hmm.
And you said that this team is awful offensively.
Yes.
So I could
Worst team in the league offensively.
I could see this being an under game unless the Raptors, like, light it up.
Yeah, to me, this
the
is actually...
The over-under is very low, though, at 208.
Oh, okay.
That's why this one is a...
They are really making it hard, aren't they?
Well, the first thing I'm going to be looking at is Lu Dort under. I know he's Canadian, so it goes against the Ailish thing, but this is a guy who averages, like, 14 points a game, and... His player props, where they're looking right now, are at around 15. And I think this is the bump of, hey, this guy is Canadian and he's one of the only scorers on this team. But I think that the Raptors' defensive thing is real. And maybe there's a bit of let up tonight because of the opponent. This happens over the course of 82 games where you don't take your opponent as seriously as maybe you should.
Four straight games where that under 208 would have hit, though.
Yeah. No, but this is what I'm saying. Under points on Dort, because I think... The Raptors are going to play decent D.
So Dort's points over under is at 17.5.
That's too high. Like, how is it 17.5? The guy averages 14 this season. Not even.
Well, it's because they have no players.
I know, but he averages less than, like, I was looking at the wrong thing. He is averaging 17 points.
Yeah, 17.3 points per game.
I just still think that's too high against this Raptors team. I'm not buying that. I'm going to be going under on his points tonight. That's just my initial gut feel.
The tougher one, Ailish, and this is more in line with your, hey, bet the X Leaf to score against the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Shea's point total over under is 21.5. Shea averages 21.7.
I think he's going to play well. He's going to get over.
There you go.
There's only so many guys that score on this team.
There's literally like 3 players in player props for the Thunder.
It just, okay, so... We're assuming that Barnes is going to defend him, right? Because that's been kind of the MO, is throwing Scotty Barnes out on the guard, the ball handler, and having him pick him up basically at half court. So we see a lot more of that tonight?
I mean, it's a tough one because Dort's so strong that, like, maybe you want Barnes banging against him, and Dort has been, like, their second highest usage guy generally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, look, it's the Raptors, if we're being completely honest, they're going to switch all over and whatever the starting setup is. But yeah, Shea is by far their most important offensive player. So the pickup at half court and switch if you need to on Dort. Like, this is not a team. They're not going to worry about anyone else on this team other than those two. Like, we know the Nick Nurse book. Josh Giddey is cool. I mean, that's actually like an interesting Barnes matchup.
Cool.
But I just said Giddey a couple times. But he's a 6'8 kind of pseudo point guard who averages 6 assists a game. That might be the Barnes matchup.
Yeah, I guess my point here is that, you know, on its surface, you look at this and say, well, it's the two Canadian guys, and they're going to get a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two factors definitely scare me. And so it's the only reason why I'm not just pouncing on this right away. But I would say that, okay, but how are the Raptors playing defensively right now? Well, they are extremely aggressive against the best players of the opposing team. I'm just thinking about even the game against Golden State where Steph struggled. You're going to have Siakam, Van Vliet, and Barnes all really blitzing those two guys who touch the ball in Dort and Shea. And I'm guessing that Nick Nurse's entire strategy leading out to this game is, hey, guys, those are the only two guys that aren't going to beat us. If Poku hits shots or...
Poku's not going to hit shots.
But yeah, Jeremiah Robinson Earl can take all the shots he wants.
By the way, their front court is Darius Bazley and Jeremiah Robinson Earl, 6'8 and 6'9. This should be a good precious game, too. Good. Like, one of my favorite player prop bets on the season has been banging the over on rebounds. Whoever the best rebounder is on the opponent. And I don't know about that in this one because they're not a good rebounding team.
Yeah. So, again, these point totals are low enough with Shea and with Dort where it's not outside the realm of possibility where they're going to get these things. Mm-hmm. They're pretty well set. I just think, like, man, if the Raptors' defense is real – and Nick Nurse is drawing up this game plan, then those two guys better have a rough night. Like, they're going to have to have some spectacular shot making for those two guys to both be over 20 points tonight.
Okay, so let me say this. Yeah. The over-under's at 208. Uh-huh. If you think 17.5 is too high for Dort, 21.5 is roughly on the fence for Shea. I know, Ailish, you're taking the over on Shea. Josh Giddey has a true shooting percentage of 45.9. Yeah. Darius Bazley has a true shooting percentage of 43.2. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is at 51.1%, which is better than those other guys, but still dramatically below league average on very low usage. What I would suggest is if you feel that way about the Dort and Shea lines, you bang the under. Because, again, four games in a row for the Raptors hitting under 208. And if you think if you have confidence in them doing a good job taking away Shea and Dort, they just do not have, like, this is, it could get comical in terms of, like, this is a team where, if the Raptors take the ball out of the best player's hands, there's just not really anyone who can hurt you. Like, their best three-point shooters are Mike Muscala and Kenrich Williams.
Mm. Okay, so I like Raptors under and the money line together, which is plus 145.
Mm.
So Raptors regulation just and under. Line. Yes.
I don't mind that.
The seven's a bit of a tough spread if you're taking the under, because then you're saying, like,
they're going to blow them out.
Then you're talking 108, 100, right?
Yep.
That's
I think the under is there. Now what I have okay. gravitated to, because I think it'll be a good defensive game.
And you said plus 150 for those two
plus
together?
Plus 145.
Okay.
I just think the Raptors are going to kick their ass tonight.
If you want to go over the same thing, and I'm looking at both.
No, I'm not even necessarily like the total. The total is in one of those weird places where they're saying this is going to be supposed to be a low-scoring affair. I'm just thinking about the Raptors' star players right now where I go, hey, Siakam, Van Vliet, and I also like Blake bringing up Precious because, like, for rebounds, I'm going to be looking at his rebound
prop. It's 8.5.
Yeah, and what's Barnes' rebound prop?
I just closed it because I was trying to bring up the other
name. He would be another guy that I would look at in terms of being able to grab a bunch of rebounds in a game like this.
Yeah, it's 7.5 for Barnes, so that's pretty high.
That is pretty high, but even still, I'm looking at this one, and I just think that the Raptors are starting to find a little bit of a groove. Defensively, they look good. Siakam obviously just had that game where it was a real breakout game, and I'm going to think that he's going to want to ride the momentum. I don't think Siakam's going to be passive tonight. I think that he's going to try to go at the rim. This is a good matchup for him. Like, are they going to put Dort on Siakam? Maybe. Are they going to put Dort on Fred?
I think Dort on Fred.
So Dort on Fred.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, like, I could see them preferring Shea on Fred for the length because that's generally been a tougher thing for Fred. But if they just want the ball out of his hands, then Dort's the better play. I think Dort on Siakam. I think that if I'm the Thunder, I want Siakam facing a guy who he can't muscle through.
Yeah, so that would scare me because Dort reminds me of Marcus Smart in terms of that playoff series where he is a smaller defender who gets underneath Siakam but doesn't allow him to kind of move him around but also can keep up with the quickness. So it's like you always kind of feel like there's a strong body hovering underneath you as you're playing. It's actually why I think Fred VanVleet works so well against Steph Curry. It's like you can keep that gap. You can be very, very closed in tight on them. So maybe Siakam isn't the play tonight then. Maybe it is more of a Fred VanVleet game if we do think that who's Dort defending. Because, like, I'm fading the guy that Dort is going to be the primary defender on. And if that's Siakam, then I'm going to say that I'm not going to be loving his props. I'm not going to be loving his point totals. Maybe I'm starting to look to the other guys. Maybe this is just, like, maybe this is a Gary Trent Jr. game. Maybe this is one where you're pointing to like, hey, Gary Trent's going to go off and he's going to shoot a ton here. I just don't like the Thunder suck. I shouldn't have to know who Earl Jones is, like, unless it's the guy who did the Darth Vader voice. Like, I don't, I think this Thunder team sucks. And if they win, the Raptors really, really something.
I'm not even thinking
and, like,
about that.
This is a Thunder team that, like, again, they just won a game and their defense has been roughly average. They just lost by the largest margin in NBA history.
So that's why
a couple days ago
I start to get nervous about the under when I see something like that.
152 points. Well, the nice thing is if the Raptors start blowing them out, mm-hmm. the Raptors bench guys aren't really great
at
scoring.
Bing Bonga in though, and you know my affinity for him. He might just light it up tonight.
You gotta get a
boyfriend.
Ask, you gotta request a Bing Bonga prop because that guy does not make the.
Yeah, he's not on the betting sites. No. Like, give him some love.
You probably get the over under 2.5 minutes is the closest.
Well, I'm fine with that.
You're gonna get. It's a pretty loaded NBA slate tonight as well.
Do you have any best bets?
Yeah. Let me double check.
I got none, so I haven't got
double
that far.
Check.
I wanted to double check the lines.
Oh, okay. My Knicks are +170 money line against the Pacers.
So that's an interesting one because the Knicks are on a back to back, but mm-hmm. the Pacers are obviously a mess with all these rumors right now.
Homer's parlay.
Well, there's no Leaf game.
No, but Homer's parlay isn't. Knicks are part of my home.
I think I've been wrong on almost every Pacers bet all year, so they're one of my stay-away teams. Yeah. Like, I just don't touch them. I feel like they vacillate between looking like a complete disaster, and I've seen them play where they've been awful, and I go, oh, I'm fading these guys. And then I watch the game, and they play well. So, I go, okay, no.
Ailish, here's a tweak on the Homer's parlay. Mm-hmm. New York Rangers, money line +135, and then Raptors and Knicks, the Bing Bonga parlay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You like that branding? Did you just tune me out?
A-list, no, I was just going to say, A-list is like...
I like the Bing Bonga parlay.
Okay.
Like, that's why I said, that's what I meant by Homer's parlay.
But I threw the Rangers in there, too. So you're getting the New York and the...
I know, over there.
She's completely tuned me out.
Literally funneling into the app, trying to get this bet in right now, because she's so red hot, she doesn't even care. She's basically, like, blind betting. She's throwing darts at the board. She's like in those movies where
just clicking away with my eyes closed. Yeah, something will hit.
Where the shooter is, like, throws up a deck of cards, and then they, like, shoot the six... Like, they shoot the pistol, and then all of a sudden, like, the cards all have holes, like, dead center in the middle. That's A-list right now. She's like barely paying attention.
I'm not paying attention.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm just getting nervous that now I have to publicly put my bets out there as people are wondering. They're texting in. Yeah. Oh, keep it up, like, A-list, you're doing great. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
But here's the thing, though. You've had a good brand right now of Bing Bonga parlays, mm-hmm. Bing Bong parlay, right? So times where you feel like it's good, don't always force it, right? Like, actually, I shouldn't take advice from you. But, like, you don't really feel like you're shooting these shots early in the day, but you've also had you're riding high on a betting players that are from here mm-hmm. or who used to play here on the overs. So what you really need to do, this is a come full circle, is take Paul Watson on the over prop tonight. Yeah. Get him on this thing. This is the Raptors 905 guy that's coming back. No, seriously. Those are it.
Quickly, Knicks +4.5, even on the back-to-back with how big a mess the Pacers are, is interesting. I like Cavs -3 at home against the Bulls. The Bulls have been awesome, and they played just fine without DeMar last game. But
is
I don't know
out?
How much. Yeah. Oh. I don't know how much that sustains. Sixers -7.
Knicks might suck, though. Can we be Knicks are 4-6 in their last 10.
But the Pacers really suck.
I know, but they're both just kind of...
Yeah.
I just think that they're pretty similar.
You're getting 4.5 points, though.
Bing bong.
RJ is finally inching towards health.
RJ.
Well, RJ's been dealing with a pretty bad illness.
Yeah, wait till Friday when it's Knicks versus Raptors, and I'm in a tough spot there.
I was having RJ Barrett season now, other than when he plays the Raptors. I'd be like, I'm sick all the time.
Yeah. 76ers -7 on the road at Charlotte is a big line for a road team, but Charlotte's down LaMelo and a bunch of other guys to COVID protocols, and Embiid's playing or expected to. So that's an interesting one.
Look at the Warriors Trailblazers. Oh
yeah, Heat Bucks
gross.
Is a stay away because Jimmy and Bam are both out. Normally Heat at home against the Bucks. And yeah, that Warriors Blazers line, like that's no Dame and no CJ. And the Warriors are the craziest betting run I've ever seen because not only are they a public team and they're a heavy favorite every single game, they are just covering like crazy. Like there aren't lines that they can't beat. They're 17-6. Against the spread. So all that's going on. The Raptors 7-point favorites against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that game's tonight at 7:30 on Sportsnet.